parsha begins with the Yankov Avinu making a request of Yosef that he shouldn't, when it comes the time when he's going to pass away, he shouldn't be buried in Eretz Mitzrayim. He wants to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And he refers to this as a chesed ve'emes. So Rashi quotes from the Bereishis Rabbah that the du gemilas chasadim to living people is a chesed, but chesed shosim imachai mikmi mitzapa l'tashlum schar. You will be reimbursed. There's reciprocity. Whenever you do a mitzvah ben aram l'chaver, there's always reciprocity. But the chesed that you do in ma'meisim, the meis can't reciprocate, so that's called chesed shalemes. In Yiddish, they call the chevre kadisha, the chevre gemilas chesed shalemes, based on this Bereishis Rabbah. There is a pasuk in Chumash Dvarim where the Torah says we are obligated to give tzedakah, and the Torah says, "Ki lo yechdal ev yom mikerev ha'aretz." There will always be poor people in the world. That's why you should give tzedakah. Ki b'kalal adabaza yivarechuch Hashem alakecha. So the Gemara in the end of Masechus Shabbos has a comment on the word ki b'kalal adabaza, that poverty is like a galgal hachozer ba'olam. You never have a family that's wealthy. A wealthy family for 10 generations, and then after 10 generations, one of the wealthy grandchildren makes a major mistake and he loses his whole fortune, and then they'll be poor. So why did the Gemara make this comment, Davka, and not Pasuki, Biglal, they said Galgal, okay. But why is it only over there? And what does the pasuk give the reason why you're obligated to give tzedakah? Ki lo yechdal lev yom mikerev haaretz. There'll always be poverty in the world. That's the reason why you're obligated to give tzedakah. A lot of sociologists argue that it doesn't make sense that there should be a mitzvah to give tzedakah. What do you think? You're going to solve the problem of poverty? There'll always be poverty. So you won't accomplish anything by giving charity. You'll make these people wealthy. Then the others will be poor. Then you're going to try to help them. They're always going to be poor people. So you're not going to solve the problem of poverty. So if there's a dam preventing the water from coming and flooding your area, so there's a hole in the dam. So I put my hand up to block the water. Then I see another hole. I put my hand up over there. Then there's a third hole. I only have two hands. What am I going to do? I'm going to block the hole. There's going to be full of holes. The water is going to come anyway. So what are you wasting your time by putting your hand to block the water if you're not going to accomplish anything at the end of the day? So it's an act of futility to try to stop it. So the same over here. That's what some sociologists argue the point. It doesn't make sense to say that you should give charity to the poor. You're not going to solve the problem anyway. There's always going to be poverty. So leave the poor people and shine. What do you accomplish by giving them? So the Abar Benel, and that positive observation, once said over Pshat, and we found that the Abar Benel had the Pshat. He forgot to say that he must have seen it years ago, and he forgot that it was all from the Abar Benel. That the Pasuk, the Gemara understood the Pasuk to mean that the obligation, bin Adam Lachaver, by living people, is based on reciprocity. There's such a Rambam in Hilchas Matan Sanim also. He says, Meikar Adin, you're only obligated to give tzedakah ben Adam Lachaveira to Yisraelim. To Nochrim, you're not mechuyev to give because there is no reciprocity. They're not mechuyev to give back. You're only mechuyev to give to those who are mechuyev to give back to you, and you'll be in need. But I'm a wealthy man. What do you mean there is no reciprocity? I'm a rich man. I'm a multimillionaire. I have millions in the bank. So what do you mean reciprocity? So the Torah says, no, it's a galgal achayza ba'ilam. There will always be poor people. And after 10 generations, maybe your children will be in need of tzedakah. So you're obligated to give to others in exchange for which the others are obligated to give to you. Not only that, so that's chesed shosim imachayim. The person, it's really been on a machaver, it's always based on reciprocity. The Rambam writes, the Rambam quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says, it's only by the Rabbanim, Mipnei Darkei Shalom, you have to give tzedakah to Aniyei Akum. So the Rambam understands Akum in the sense of the Avodah Zarah. He says that's only by the Rabbanim, Mipnei Darkei Shalom. If the Nochri is not an Oyver Avodah Zarah, then the Rambam says you mechuyev min haTorah to give tzedakah. I bet there's no reciprocity. So the Rambam says no, because there's a mitzvah of a halachta b'drachov. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in Tanakh is What's the pasuk? V'racham aval kol ma'asov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rachmanis on all the dumb animals also. So, we are obligated to give tzedakah to anochri, not because of bin adam l'chaveiroi. The bin adam l'chaveiroi is only when there's reciprocity. The anochri is not mechuyev to give back. We're mechuyev to give to the anochim, like you have to be kind to dumb animals. V'racham aval kol ma'asov. So it's bin adam le'atzmo. They quote from the Vilna Gaon, based on different psukim and different gemaras, that the Rishonim divided all the mitzvahs into two categories, bin adam l'makom, bin adam l'chaveiro. In truth, it's really three categories. The third category is bin adam le'atzmo, that a person has an obligation to preserve his tzelem elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everybody with tzelem elokim, and he instructed us, v'halachta v'drachav, to go and to imitate the ways of God, to preserve that tzelem elokim. It shouldn't be mekalkalit. So the obligation to give tzedakah to anochri is not an oibet avodah zarah. That's based on v'racham aval kol ma'asov, mahu afato. The obligation to give to Yisrael is stronger. That's a shibud ben adam l'chaveiroi. That's a shibud. So that's based on reciprocity. The Gemara in Tainus tells the story: an old man was planting a tree, and the nature of the tree was such that it's not going to give forth fruits for the next 20, 30 years. So they asked him, he planned to live so long. He's already 80 years old. You're going to live so long? You're going to live 100 years old in order to get the fruits from the tree? So he says, when I was born into the world, the earlier generations planted these kind of trees. And I feel obligated to give back to mankind, not to a specific person. I feel obligated to give. I'm not going to live to eat the pears. I don't think I'm going to live so long to eat the pears. But I feel obligated to mankind. Mankind in the earlier generations took care of me, and they planted such trees. I feel obligated to reciprocate, to give back. So that's what Rashi quotes in the Bereishis Rabbah, that the shibudim bein adam l'chaveiro, when a person is alive, is based on reciprocity. Chesed she'osim ha'machem is always going to be tashlum schar. But chesed she'osim ha'mameisim, that's chesed shel emes. Why is it called emes? It means chesed she'osim ha'mameisim is because v'halachta b'drach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a bal chesed. He doesn't do chesed because we're going to reciprocate. We don't reciprocate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we are instructed to do chesed because of HaHalachta V'drachav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in Tanakh as having many, many midas, which is the Iker Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says in Yuma, a story that once the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah was sitting around and a note came from heaven and it was signed Emes. So they understood Chaysam Mashal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu signs his name. The Iker Midah Balakus is Midas HaEmes. Doesn't mean Midas HaEmes, he always tells the truth, he doesn't tell a lie. Sometimes he does lie. Mishanim epnei darkei shalom. But, and we learn it out from Avraham Avinu. HaKadosh Baruch tells Avraham Avinu, Lo mazet zoch hakos sora leimor. How can I have a baby, vani zakanti? She didn't say vani zakanti. She said, vadoini zakein. My husband is too old to have a baby. She was able to have a baby. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say it over exactly the way Sarah said in Meshanim Efnei Darkei Sholem. The Gemara learns out Meshanim Efnei Darkei Sholem from the Pasuk in the end of today's Sedra, that the brothers, after they buried the father in Eretz Mitzrayim, they were afraid that now Yosef will take Nekoma from them. Vayurach Yosef. It's not true. The father never found out that they sold it, but he never asked that they should say. So Yosef says, I'm not going to harm you anyway. Etc. So he's not going to do anything to them. So the Gemara says, how did he tell a lie? Because Mutal Lashanis Ben Bnei Dakrishon. It's very difficult. As bad as the Avera is to tell a lie, whatever the nature of the Avera is, but Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, they're afraid that Yosef is going to kill him. So Mishum Pikuach Nefesh, he can certainly tell a lie. We want to know, how do you know Mutal Lashanis Ben Bnei Dakrishon? That the person shouldn't feel hurt, like HaKadosh Baruch is telling Avraham Avinu, that your wife Sarah, he could have said the truth. HaKadosh Baruch would have said, your wife Sarah said, my husband is too old to have a baby. But it would hurt Avraham Avinu's feelings. So the Rebbeinu Shlom told a lie, Mifnei Darkei Sholem. So you need a, that's a mocker for that. But to quote the mocker from the the end of Parshas Vayechi, that's Mishum Pikuach Nefesh. That's a problem. How did the Gemara prove from that pasuk that Mutar L'shanes B'mpnei Da'akim Shel? Anyway, when it says over here Emes, it doesn't mean Emes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chesom HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. Main Midah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu never tells a lie. He does tell a lie. Sometimes it's a mitzvah to tell a lie. It means something else, Emes. Different thing. Some other time. What does it mean? Anyway, so that's an important Rashi quoting the Bereishis Rabbah. Chesed Shosim and Machaim is based on reciprocity. That's a Shibud Ben Adam Machavera. I agree to work for my boss in exchange for which he pays me a salary. There's reciprocity. So that's Shibud Ben Adam Machavera. And Chesed Shosim and Mameisim, that's not, there's no reciprocity. There's no Shibudim. There's no Shibudim to a mace. That's Midas HaChesed V'Halachta B'Drachav, to act with Midas HaChesed. The Mishnah Brura quotes, every so often he quotes the Meiri. Meiri is printed, some of the Meiris were printed during his lifetime. So he quotes the Meiri every so often. So he quotes the Meiri from the Magen Avos, and Hilchos Kvuras HaMeis on Yontav Sheni Shel Golias. The Meiri has a long, they call it the Shadas HaTshuvas of the Meiri. He spoke about it, it's called the Sefer Magen Avos. When the Ramban passed away, Talmid HaRamban moved from Girona to Provence in order to learn by the Chachmei Provence. So there was a little friction there because they had different menhagim. So the Miri wrote a whole, Miri lived in Provence, Balamor, the Rebbe, had a lot of Rishonim, lived in Provence. So he wrote a whole sefer, Magen Avos, to defend Minhag HaVosav from the attacks of the Talmid HaRamban. So yeah, I think there are 24 issues that he wrote. One was Kel Melech Nama, one is a bracha on dessert, if you have dessert at the end of the meal, what do you say, a bracha on? One was when Tisha B'Av falls out on Sunday, when do you say Abdallah? And one was about Kvuras HaMeis, a Yom Tov Rishon. It says, Nigmar, Ayidei Amimim, is that only the digging of the grave should be done on Ayidei Amimim? What about handling the mace? That everything that's only the Rabbanit could be done on Ayidei Yisrael? Because Mishum Kovar Abrius, you allow all the Rabbanans. Or do you say only Kovar Abrius, you matter the Rabbanans if it's Kovar Achayim, not Kovar Amesim? So that's a fundamental makhlok solution. Why should you distinguish between Kovar Achayim and Kovar Amesim? So the answer is Kovar Achayim is a Shibud because there's reciprocity. I'm mechayiv to do for others because they're mechayiv to do for me. So whenever there's a Shibud, so then it's chusei mamon, there is chusim. The other person is entitled to what I'm going to give him because he's going to return the toibet to me. There's going to be reciprocity. So whenever there's a shibud mamon, if you want to make a takana de rabbanon, you have to be careful not to be mafsat somebody mamon. But in kavod hameisim, you don't have any shibudim. It's just a midah toivah. So there's room to say that kavod hameisim is not matter all the rabbanon. It's only kavod achayim. So that's a big machlokes of Mishnah Brura. In Hilchos Kvuras HaMeis, Yontav Sheni, he talks about that. And he quotes, look in the Magen Avos by the Meiri, that he has this whole arichas, that there's a fundamental machlokes of Rishonim, where the Kavod Abrius is Decha de Rabbanan, is restricted only to Kavod HaChaim, or even applies to Kavod HaMeisim. Usually we have a din in Shulchan Aruch that if a person dies in New York, you have to bury him in the cemetery in New York. You're not allowed to bury him in Boston. Rav Soloveitchik died in Boston, so that's why they buried him in Boston. If he would have died in New York, they would have buried him in New York. Because you're being mevazeh, the mason who are buried in the local cemetery, if you choose to be buried somewhere else. Well, it's holy of people over there. The Jewish people are all holy. Unless you want to bury the person, b'kibrei avoso, unless the whole family has a family plot together somewhere. Or if you want to bury in Eretz Yisrael, that's a mila. As the pasuk says in the end of Shiras Hazino, V'chipa ad masai amoi. So the simple pshat in the pasuk, V'chipa ad masai amoi, that concluding pasuk in the Shiras Hazino is, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Baruch HaKodesh, B'nevuah Baruch HaKodesh, that there's going to be a holocaust. And during this holocaust, people will be asking, V'amar Elohim Otsuch HaSoyabo, where was God when all of this was happening? That's exactly what all the Christians were saying when the Jews were being killed by the Nazis. Where is the Jewish God? How does he allow all this to happen? It means that there is no God over the Jewish people. Shows that the Christian religion is the true religion. That's what they were getting. Many people gave up their belief in Judaism because of the Holocaust. And then the Pasuk says, in the end of days, there will be a Yeshua, V'chipe ad masai amai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease, the Targum Onkelos translates like that. V'chipe means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his ad masai, he will appease his land. Eretz Yisrael will have a Tchias HaMeisim, almost 2,000 years till 1948, till HaKamas HaMedina. It was smelly, it was dirty, and then the Jewish people took over and made a Medina and a high tech, and everything is fantastic in Eretz Yisrael. And all the medical advances that they have, and all the technological advances in such a short time. So that's V'chipa Admas, HaKadosh Baruch will appease his land. V'ama, HaKadosh Baruch will appease his nation. So that's that's the Pasha Pshat in the Pasuk, V'chipa Admasai Amai. But the Gemara in the end of Maseches Ksubas has an additional level of interpretation that whoever is buried in Eretz Yisrael gets a Mechilas Havainas. More so if you go to Eretz Yisrael to live there Mechayim. In a daima kaltosa lachamisa, the kaltosa mechayim. If you're niklat in Eretz Yisrael, while you're alive, that's better than if you just brought there after you died to be buried there. But if you're brought to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, v'chipa atmasa amay, being buried in Eretz Yisrael will give, being in Eretz Yisrael will give one a mechilas avonos. V'chipa atmasa amay, that's an additional level of interpretation. The pshutras on mikra is probably like the Targum Onkelos says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his land and appease his nation. So that's why we assume that being buried in Eretz Yisrael is a ma'ala, even if there is no mishpacha buried there. There's no keber obis over there. But still, being buried in Eretz Yisrael. In Yerushalmi, some of Avnei Amoraim were upset why the Chachmei Bavel would bring their meisim lekvura to Eretz Yisrael. They would quote the pasuk Vatovo Vatotamu es Artzi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu complains, the Jewish people came to Eretz Yisrael and they defiled my land. It means that they did Averis. They did Avodah Zarah, they did Gilui Arayos, they did Averis. But the Amoraim were upset why they're bringing their dead bodies to Eretz Yisrael. They said, Vatovo Vatotamu es Artzi, they're bringing Tumas Ameis into Eretz Yisrael. So they were upset. Throughout all the generation, there were Gdolim who held also like that it's not proper to take Mesim who died in Chutz Lort to bury them in Eretz Yisrael. But the generally accepted opinion is that it is okay. Rabbi Breuer used to be here in the community. He was from Frankfurt. His tradition was that it's not proper to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, like that opinion in Yerushalmi. But that's not the generally accepted opinion. We assume that it's permissible, like Yaakov Avinu wanted to be buried. And Eretz Yisrael didn't want to be buried for various reasons. Rashi quotes from the Medrash three different reasons. So that's we usually assume that to be buried in Eretz Yisrael is it's not considered a bizoyan to the mason who are buried in your city, because we know that to be buried in Eretz Yisrael is a higher mila, it's a higher madrega. Then the Torah tells us that Yosef was told, Hine Avicha Chole, your father took sick. So the Gemara has a very interesting comment in the end of Bava Metzia, that until the days of Yaakov Avinu, people wouldn't get sick. They would just drop dead when it came time. And then Yaakov Avinu was mispalo. People should get sick in order to be able to give a tochocha to their children, in order to give brachas, in order to give a tzavoya, just to drop dead in the middle. It's problematic, it's really so. There was no choli. That's the first time it says in the Torah, Hine Avicha Choli is by Yaakov Avinu. That's how the Gemara said, famous Gemara in the end of Bava Metzia. So they told Yosef that his father is sick, so he took his two children to get a bracha. He took Menashe and Ephraim. So the first thing Yaakov Avinu tells him is, I had a whole bunch of children, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to me after you were born, after Yosef was born, but before Binyamin was born. And he was told, Goya kal goy mi emimekom, malachim mechalatzecha yetzeu. That's what he was told. What do you mean, Goya kal goy mi emimekom? What do you mean, Goya kal goy? So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim in the first perek in Hurrius, with the shape of the echadikri kohol or not. There's an institution of parhelem dover shel tzibur that only applies if the din is that Dovish is done, of course, and shigigos achatas. If a person doesn't have air b'shegeg, says Mayikra. Nefesh kisechta b'shgoga. If a person sins, b'shogeg, he brings a korban chatas. What did he do, b'shogeg? He cheated in business, b'shogeg. It's probably b'mezid. What did he do? He told Lashon Hara b'shogeg. It was also probably b'mezid. He did some aver. Every time he do an aver b'shogeg, he ate some food and he found out that it wasn't kosher. So the din is that you have to bring a korban chatas. It's not true. You only bring a korban chatas if it's a dovish has done a koris b'shigigos chatas. During the lifetime of Rav Chaim, there was a malamed who published a whole book about how to be a successful malamed, how to teach. So part of what he writes in this sefer is that when you're teaching little children chumash, you have to teach them every single rashi. You have to teach them the first time. You have to teach every single drosha, the Torah Shabbat Peh. Just give them the general idea. You don't have to go into all the nitty-gritty details. He gives a mashal. He says when you teach the parsha of chatas, you don't have to tell them the din. The Tonle Dovish has done a korban shigigasachat. Tell him a person does an aver b'shegig, brings a korban chatas. So Rab Chaim was unhappy about that. This malamed sent a copy of his sefer to Rab Chaim. Rab Chaim happened to read that chapter, and he sent it back a letter, and they printed the letter. He said, no, that's pashup pshat in the pasuk. True, you don't have to give all the details, every mishnah and shas. You have to tell over when you're teaching chumash, but that's pshuto shel mikra. The children are going to walk away with the mistaken impression that anytime a person does an aver b'shogeg, has to bring a chatas. That's absolutely not true. Only dovish has done a koris shigigos a chatas. So that's usually the din. So how many things dovish has done a koris? Let's say a person ate on Yom Kippur b'shogeg by mistake. The person was machal Shabbos b'shogeg. He did malacha b'shabbos. He eats chelav adam b'shogeg. He's chayv to bring a chatas. What if the Bez Nagorol gave a psak? And it was a mistake, and a dovish has done a koris, and the roiv of the tzibah, we spoke about it just the other day, the roiv of the tzibah, 51% of the tzibah who lives in Eretz Yisrael violated the Issa Koris because of the mistake in Psaka, the Bez Nagorol. It means they all heard about it, they publicized it in the newspapers that something is mutter, and then 51% of the tzibah in Eretz Yisrael violate the Issa, and then the Bez Nagorol backs out. It could be that they're not going to back out the Bez Nagorol 50 years later. Nobody's going to be there from the old Bez Nagorol from 50 years before. They're all in the Olam Emes. So maybe 70 years later, the Bez Nagorol will back out and it'll turn out that all those people did that avera. The Sheikh is usually a chatas shemesa by now. You don't bring a chatas for a dead person. But here, the chatas is brought for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael doesn't die. It's not a korban yochid, it's a korban tzibur. The Eina tzibur mason. So the din is that if the Bez Nagorol had a unanimous vote that something in Issa Koris was usher, and 51% of the tzibur lives in Eretz Yisrael violated it, then they bring a parhalam dovash al tzibur. So the Tanoim have a machlokes, nelam dovah me'eni hakohol. It's only the whole Klal Yisrael, only applies to the Bez Nagorol of Yerushalayim, but he says, shevet echad ikri kol. Each and every shevet is called a kol. So that's how we pass on halacha. Every shevet had its own Bez Nagorol shel shevet. The Ramban HaChumash, at the beginning of Parsha Shoiftim, says, how did the Tanoim know that you have to have, every shevet has to have its own Bez Nagorol? Well, it says the beginning of Shoftim, Shoftim Tidin Lecha, Lecho Sharecha, Lishvatecha. What do you mean, Lishvatecha? If every city needs a Bezdin, so of course every Shevet is going to have a Bezdin. So Tosis and Sanhedrin asked that question. If every city needs a Bezdin, so every Shevet is going to have many cities. So Tosis says, no, it means if there's a city that has two Shvatim in it, like Yerushalayim, half of the city is Binyamin, half of the city is Yehuda, so you need two Batidinim. One Bezdin in the Chelka Shal Yehuda, one Bezdin in the Chelka Shal Binyam. A funny pshat. So the Ramban HaChumash thinks it doesn't mean that. No, Lishvatech. Lisharecha means every city needs a Bezdin. Lishvatech means every Shevet needs a Bezdin HaGadol Shal HaShevet. It's just Mesupik, how many members were there in the Bezdin HaGadol Shal HaShevet? Is it 23 or is it 71? Rav Soloveitchik once spoke about that. He thought that his Mestaber has to be 71. If it's only 23, so why are they higher? Why are they a Supreme Court higher than the other Sanhedrin? Any city, any big city needs a Sanhedrin of 23. So why is the Bez Nagorol of the Shevet only has 23? Why is that higher? So he thought, Mistabatim, that it's 71. But yeah, he just shifted the question. So why is the Bez Nagorol in the Yerushalayim greater than that? It's also just 71. I don't know. Ramban is Mesutik about that. So the din is every Shevet needs his own Bez Nagorol. And there's nothing wrong. Let's say a Shaila comes up, and you have 12 Shvatim, and every Shevet, Bez Nagorol will give a different Psak. This Shevet will follow the Taz, that Shevet will follow the Shach, the other one will follow the Sma, each one will follow the different Psak. Nothing wrong with that. If the Beis HaMikdash Yerushalayim issues a psak, then all of Klal Yisrael has to follow. But if the Beis HaMikdash Shel HaShevet issues a psak, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. He wanted variety. Nothing wrong. That's the institution of Shvatim. And Eretz Yisrael was Nischalka L'Shvatim. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yaakov Avinu before Binyamin was born. Binyamin was born when the mother died. Rachel died in childbirth. So before Binyamin was born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Goya kol kon yeh mimeko, melochi mechalatzechi yitzeil. And then he said, I'll give you Eretz Yisrael, because it'll be nischalak l'shvatim. So he told him, Goya kol goya means you're going to have another two shvatim will be born. But only one shevet was born. Binyamin was born when Rachel died. No other child was born. Yaakov Avinu didn't have any more children. That was it. He didn't have any more. So he understood, Baruch HaKadosh, that one of the Shvatim will be split to two. So he understood, Baruch HaKadosh, he's going to have the right to pick. So he said, that's chus I give to you. Shnei banach an eladim l'cha, ki Reuven v'Shimon yeoli, just like Reuven v'Shimon are two Shvatim, and al pidin, that plays a role for Chalukah sa'aretz, aretz when it's chalka l'shvatim, and the din, parhan davar shel tzibur, we paskin shevet echad dikri kol. So too, and the Gemara has in Yesh Neuchlin, the Gemara gives a mashal. Somebody died, so the Yerusha goes to his sons. If he doesn't have any, has sons and daughters that the sons get. What if the sons are not alive? So the children of the sons get. But he have no sons, and the daughters get. If there are no sons, no daughters, no descendants, so then his father gets no father, then the brothers get no brother, then the sister. The Mishnah Gemara gives you the whole discussion. So the Gemara says, the Yerusha, there's always someone's going to get the Yerusha. So the Gemara says, why? And the Rashbam is long, boring. Rashbam's there. He gives you names of people from Tanakh, from the Chumash. He tells you the names of the people who died and who's getting the Yerusha and so on. So the Gemara asks, why don't you say if the whole Shevet died out? So it goes to the brothers of Yankov's children and it's divided among the whole clans. And Gemara said, that's never going to happen. Gemiri, we have a tradition that like called a shift in Israel. A shevet will never be wiped out. So Rav David Soloveitchik quoted the Raivid as a commentary on the Torah's Kohanim. They say it's really by the Raivid, by the same Raivid who wrote on the Rama. There's a Pirush Raivid on Maseches Tomid. They say that's clearly not by the Raivid. Then there's a Pirush Raivid on the Sifrei, doesn't at all, that was printed recently, a couple of years ago, doesn't seem to be written by the Raivids. The rabbi always has something snazzy to say, and that rabbi on the Sifrei hardly ever says anything. So it doesn't seem it's written by some other region. Maybe also had a name, rabbi, but there was more than one rabbi. It wasn't the famous rabbi. But the rabbi on the Torah's Kanim is by the rabbi. So the rabbi writes in one place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's one of the Haftaras, Ane Hashem lo shanis, v'atem b'nei akiv lo chilisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a Haftacha that the Jewish people never be wiped out. So that Haftach does only apply to all of Klal Yisrael. Shevet Echad Ikri Kohol. Every Shevet is called a Kohol. So the Haftach applies to each Shevet. That's how the Gemara knew. Gemiri, we have a tradition. The law called a Shift in the Yisrael. We're not going to give you an example where a whole Shevet died out. And Yerusha is divided among all of the Shvatim, all the brothers of Reuben, Shimon, and so on. It goes down to the descent. That's never going to happen. That a whole Shevet will be wiped. That's never going to happen. So that's what Yaakov Avinu says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me after the birth of Yosef, after you were born, he's talking to Yosef, before Binyamin was born, Goya kal goya miyem imeka, we're going to have another two shvatim. I only had one. Binyamin was born. I didn't have any more children. So I understood, Baruch HaKadosh, that I have the right to pick which shevet is going to be split into two. He's giving that schus to Yosef. But he says, only Menashe v'Ephraim, if you have more children, they'll be subsumed either under Shevet Menashe, Shevet Ephraim. Not that all of the children that you will have will become Shvatim. Only Menashe Ephraim will be Shvatim. They won't get a separate section in Eretz Yisrael. They'll be in these two Shvatim. Then he apologized. Rashi quotes from the Bereishis Rabba. Everything's from the Bereishis Rabba. You probably have tarumis against me why I didn't bury your mother, Rachel, in Moras HaMachpelah. That's such a mokka mechubad, Moras HaMachpelah. It's a pischo shel Gan Eden, the Midrashim say. So you probably have Taruma, so you should know I did it. Baruch Ani Bevoi Mipat Mesa Alai Rocha, your mother died, there it's Kenan, and it was Menah Shammai. Ve'ek Berasham, it was Menah Shammayim, and then Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah. What's the whole Yichus? What's the whole Maila being buried in Maras HaMachpel? Maras HaMachpel is a Mokam Yuchud L'Tfilo. How do you know? Because when Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim, so Kol Ben Yefune was afraid he would be Nichshol, he would fall in with the other Meraglim who were going to planning to give a negative report about Eretz Yisrael. Somehow Yeshua Ben Nun wasn't afraid because Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalo for him. Kol Yoshiach HaMe'atzas Meraglim and Kol Moshe Rabbeinu didn't pray for. So Kol Ben Yefune, that's how the Medrash says, Kol Ben Yefune went to Hebron, says in the Pasuk, went to Hebron. Why? To be mispalled by Moris HaMachpelah that he shouldn't be nichshol with the Chet HaMeraglim. So the whole yichus of being buried in Moris HaMachpelah is a mokam ha'miyuchad l'tfilah. So Yaakov Avinu says, your mother was buried kever rochel al pi roch ha'kodesh, al pi min ha'shamayim, because when the Jews will be going at the Golus Bavel at the time of the Churban Bayis Rishon, they will pass by kever rochel and rochel will be davening for them. Rachel Mavaka al Baneha, Rachel will be mispalal that they should return back to Eretz Yisrael. So your mother is buried. The mile of Kever Rachel is the same mile as Maris HaMachpel. It's a mokam yuchad l'tfilah. That's perhaps pshat. Talmud Chacham once said that that's the pshat in this gracious rabbi that Rashi quotes on the. We have in Shulchan Aruch that sometimes we say, B'nei Bonim Harehem Kibonim. So they quote this pasuk, Ephraim and Manasseh, Ki Reuben v'Shimon Yehudi, just like Reuben and Shimon are my children, so Ephraim and Manasseh are also, in a certain sense. Rashi quotes in the Medrash Rabbah, means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me the right to declare, to split one of the Shvatim into two. Ephraim and Manasseh are going to be counted as two Shvatim, for Chalukas Haaretz and for the Korbanos HaNesiim, in the first 12 days in Chodesh Nisan, after they finished building the Mishkan. The Ephraim and Manasseh each brought the Nasi of Sheva, the Ephraim and Manasseh, each one brought his own korbanos. They weren't one Sheva. So that's what the Pshat is. But in Shulchan Aruch, they quote this idea, where does it apply? So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote it when you get an Aliyah. An Aliyah is all Minhagim. That's how they call you up for an Aliyah. So some yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, they don't want to call up by the father's name. They're just, the Gabbai tells you you're getting the next Aliyah, they call up Yale Yehuda, Yale Akiva, Yale Eliezer. Because one, they're going to say Yale Akiva ben Harav Pliny, the other one's going to Yale Akiva ben Elozer, Yale Akiva ben Hachover, Rabbi Elozer. So one is going to have a bigger title than the other, so the other student will feel bad. And some yeshivas in itself, they treat everybody equally. They don't call up Pliny ben Pliny, just Pliny, Shon. Okay. So you're just talking about Minhagim over here. There was a period of time that the Jews in Germany took on Goyish names. Adolf, all kinds of Goyish names. After Adolf Hitler, they stopped using the name Adolf. Before, Hitler was a common name. So they felt uncomfortable calling someone up to the Torah. Yamod, Eliezer ben Adolf, and he never had a Jewish name. They were going to call him Adolf or whatever. Arthur. Goyish name. So they instituted Yamar HaKoyen, Yamar HaLevi, Yamar Shlishi, Yamar Revi. So the Abnanezer has a whole tshuva that Rav Soloveitchik said over. Rav Soloveitchik was very influenced by a lot of Abnanezers. This is one of them that he said over in Shir, that that's not right, that just like when you're makarv a korban, you have to be makarvit l'shem shishi d'var, mazevach nizbach, you have to have in mind the bailim. So you shouldn't just say Yamar Shlishi. When you call up to the Aliyah, somehow that's like the Kavana of HaKrovus HaKarbonus, you should call by name. You don't necessarily have to say Pliny Ben Pliny, but you shouldn't just say Yamot Shishi. You should say the name. So let's say the person is getting the Aliyah, his father is a Rosh HaMefursim. You're going to call up Yamot Akiva Ben Eliezer, and all the people in the neighborhood hate Eliezer. He's sitting in prison because of his Maisim Tovim. So it's a busha to him to be called up Yamad Akiva ben Eliezer. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, call him up by his grandfather's name. His grandfather was a nice Jew. His father's sitting in prison. So you call him up Yamad Eliezer ben Azariah, whatever his grandfather's name is. What if his grandfather is also a gangster? What if the grandfather is a ger? What if the grandfather was an ochri? So that's a shaila. Can you call him up by his grandfather from the mother's side and say b'nei banos is also kibbanim? Only b'nei banim is kibbanim. So that's a whole discussion in Shulchan Aruch. And Hilchas Gitnei talk about that. What if by mistake they wrote a get, and instead of writing Pliny Ben Pliny, the father's name, they wrote the grandfather's name? Is it good b'dievet? Because it's correct. B'nei banim harein kibbanim. L'chatchila for sure you're not supposed to write like that. You have to describe the person. You have to describe the person. So in Shulchan Aruch, that's the place where they talk about it. But again, the Piraviriviya, you say, B'nei Banim Harein Kibbanim, that's a different reason why, because the whole, there's a machloikas, we spoke about it. If Hoyol Abanim Amesu, you had a son and a daughter, they both died before they had a chance to get married, have their own children. So there's a machloikas in the Gemara, whether you're a Piraviriviya. So we pass them like the opinion, you're not Yotze. Why? Because the nature of the mitzvah used to be to populate the earth. If your children died before they had their own children, so you didn't accomplish anything, so you didn't do. After Matan Torah, that is no longer obligatory on Umas HaOilam. So many assumed that the whole nature of the mitzvah changed. The nature of the mitzvah is to transmit, to see to it that Yiddishkeit is transmitted to the next generation. So if you had a son and a daughter, they both died before they had children, so weiter. So you didn't succeed in transmitting Yiddishkeit to the next generation. So you have to have more children. So we say, if your children had their own children and then they died, so b'nei banim harein kibbanim. But that's not b'nei banim harein kibbanim. It's because you fulfilled piri rivya. The whole nature, the whole essence of the mitzvah is to see to it to perpetuate Yiddishkeit to the next generation. You don't say b'nei banim harein kibbanim. Is there a din of kibbut av? So we say, no, there is no din of kibbut av. The Ramon in Hilchos Kibbut Av, the third chelik Yerodeh, writes, it says, when Yaakov Avinu, when Yosef sent a message, he's alive, and the whole family should move to Mitzrayim. So they went down to Be'er Shova, and Yaakov Avinu has a Mara HaNevuah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, and he says he should go down to Egypt. So it says on that occasion, Yaakov Avinu brought karbanis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lekei Aviv Yitzchak. Why Lekei Aviv Yitzchak? Why not Lekei Aviv Abraham Avinu? So the Medrash Rabbah says, I think Rashi quotes, Mikan, we learn from the Pasuk, Chayavon Mikvayit Aviv, Yosef Mikvayit Aviv. There's a stronger Chiyav Kibbut Av to your father than there is to your grandfather. So it means that the stronger Chiyav, there's a Chiyav Kibbut Av to the grandfather also, there's no Chiyav at all. So that's a discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. So the this chetshuva there quotes the Chasam Sofer, who quotes a Gemara, the last daf in Sota, there's no chiv at all to the grandfather. The Gemara tells a story that once there was a child who was an orphan, and it was raised by the grandfather, and he owed a debt of gratitude to the grandfather, but then when the grandfather asked him to do a Torah for him, so he said, strictly speaking, there's no din of kibbut av. He's going to do it. He owed him a debt of gratitude. He raised him. But he said, the din of kibbut av doesn't apply. The pashtus in the Gemara doesn't apply. The say Kaddish for the grandfather, that's a maila. The Gemara says, bro mezaka abba, abba loy mezaka bro. The mitzvahs that the children do, or the grandchildren, or the descendants do, is considered a schus for the one who passed away. So the Zohar says that if a person deserves to go to Gehenna, and his children, or his grandchildren, or his descendants will recite Kaddish, they'll be poida the nifter from Gehenna. That's not because b'nei banim harein kibbanim. Let's say the din is of chayev lomalas benov. The father is mechuyev to do a bris milah for the son, to do pidyon haben. Is the grandfather chayev? No, the grandfather not chayev in milas haben. Only the father. You don't say b'nei banim harein kibbanim. B'nei banim harein kibbanim means in loshen piri b'rivya. It's a different reason why b'nei banim harein kibbanim. The only time you really say it is by the Kriyas HaTorah, to call the guy up to the Aliyah. His father was a Rasha, so you call him up by the grandfather's name. It means in Loshem Bnei Adam, you can call him Pliny Ben Pliny, even though it's not his father, it's his grandfather. But that's what the Velt quotes this pasuk. Ephraim and Menashe, Keruv and Mishim and Yili, because Bnei Bonim Hareim Kibbonim. Then Yosef brought, when he heard the father was not well, so he brought his children for a bracha. So Yaakov Avinu says, Niela, are they worthy of getting a bracha? He thought that he probably married a nachris. He thought that Yosef probably married a nachris. He says, Banahim ashanasan lelakim bozeh. So Rashi quotes from the Bereshis Rabbah, all the Rashi's, always quoting from Gemara's and Midrashim, Yalkut Shemayni. So bozeh, the word zeh usually means something that you can demonstrate. Like, zelachem hatami. So when Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Bnei Yisrael which animals are kosher, which are treif, so the Gemara has a tradition, the word zeh refers to something you can demonstrate. Moshe Rabbeinu picked up a bird and he said, this is a treif bird, this is a treif animal. He picked up all the animals. Zeh means something that you can demonstrate. Or zeh yitnu kol oibal apkudim, Moshe Rabbeinu, I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, zeh yitnu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking. So he says, zeh yitnu, heraloi matbeer shalesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you mean, zeh yitnu? Zeh means something you demonstrate. He says, everyone should give b'chatzar shekel. What was he demonstrating? So the Gemara understands. Gemara Menachem says, he demonstrated, he showed him a matbeer shalesh, and he said, everyone should give a matbeer like this. That's what we assume, that you're not yoytzei b'chatzar shekel if you give shoveh kesef. When you get married, you give a ring. It's called shoveh kesef, kekesef. Usually in Kol HaTarkula Shabbat Kesef is Kekesef. When you do Pidyon Aven, you don't have to give cash. You can give Shabbat Kesef. I remember I was once at a Pidyon Aven, and it was on a Sunday in Philadelphia, and the Kohen was a character, and he didn't want to give back the Pidyon Aven. So he said he wants the father, the baby, to give him a Becher. A Becher means he's not going to give it back. If you give money, he always assumes he's going to give it back. But he says he wants a becher. He had a whole collection of bechers that he got from Pidyon Aven. So they had to delay the Pidyon Aven for half an hour till he went to a Judaica store to buy him a becher that was worth the amount that Pidyon Aven. In Morris, he can give talas at the Pidyon Bini, egos at the Pidyon Bini, at the beginning of Kiddushin. Then the Shavu Kesef, Kid Kesef, is good l'chatchila. When you owe money to somebody, you can pay Shavu Kesef also. But the Gemara says that for machzah shekel, you're not yotzei if you give shoveh kesef. You have to give davke kesef. Just like by pidyon ma'aseh sheni, the Gemara says in Perek Hazav, you need davke. Tzarta kesef yadecha, kesef sheyesh olav tzur, you need cash. Shoveh kesef is not kesef. So too, this is Moshe wrote a whole chibur on Yerushalmi that he couldn't take with him. He lost it in Europe under the communists. So he was always bemoaning the fact he felt that that was his main life's accomplishment, that he wrote a chibra on Yerushalmi. He went on a history for writing the Igros Moshe, but he felt that his chibra on Yerushalmi was more valuable. So in one of his tshuvas, he refers to his chibra on Yerushalmi, where he explained, based on Yerushalmi, that that's a din d'oraisa. Some achronim hold that's only a din d'rabbanan, that you can only be yotzei machzah shekel with kesef and not shoveh kesef. Moshe holds no, that's a din d'oraisa, just like pidyon ma'aseh sheni is a din d'oraisa, and he's davke kesef and not shoveh kesef. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu zeh yitnu, zeh he was demonstrated to him in Ma'aseh Shaleis. It says v'zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah. Also, so it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a menorah shaleish. He showed him what the menorah is supposed to look like. What was the significance of showing him what the material is? Tell him, make gvim kaftorim v'prochem and kanim and shayim in the platform on the bottom. What do you have to show him for? The Rav Avraham Soloveitchik says in his Sefer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu Kesher Shel Tefillin also. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Kesher Shel Tefillin. What do you have to show him for? The Rav Avraham says, whenever he showed, it means it's a din what it's supposed to look like. He has a pshat on each one of these. It's all one big Gemara. On each case, what's the din? That it depends on what it looks like. So that's what the Chazal understood, the Medrash understood here. Banahem Ashanas Ali Lakim Bozeh. Bozeh doesn't mean when I was living here in Egypt. The word zeh refers to something that you mara, that you condemn, that you show to the other person, show and tell. So that's what Rashi quotes from the Bereshit Rav. Ashanas Ali Lakim Bozeh, Herodo Shtar Erisin Ushtar Ksuba. He said, no, I married a Jewish girl. There's no Erisin by Goyim. There's only Bulas Bal Yeshlahem Nichnan Saluchu Bulaniva Emahem. There's no such thing as Erisin and Isuin. By Nochen, there's Ishus Ayidei Bia. And by Jews, there's Kesef, Shtar, Bia. So he showed the Shtar Erisin, who is Mekadosh B'Shtar. Why was he Mekadosh B'Shtar? The Rambam writes that our meaning is that we're Mekadosh B'Kesef. So how come over there he was Mekadosh B'Shtar? There used to be a big Talmud Chacham in the Rabbanut years ago at the beginning of the Hakovas HaMedina, Simcha Asaf. He was a big historical scholar also in Jewish history. So he wrote quite a bit, and he wrote a book on Karoim. He wrote a lot about the Karam. So he points out that the Rambam writes that the minig is a Yimikadosh B'Kesef, that's against the Karoim. Because the Kesef is only, Rambam quotes the Gemara, Kesef is only known through Torah Shabbat Peh. The Karaites only followed Mikra. They only followed what it says in Tanakh. They didn't follow anything from the Torah Shabbat Peh. So they wouldn't do Kiddushei Kesef. There are different groups of Karaites. There are European and Asian and African Karaites. And each group has their own shtick. But one of the things all three groups have in common is that they don't believe in Kiddushei Kesef. So the Rambam says that Kiddushei Kesef is only Torah Shabbat Peh. Means the practice by the Orthodox Jews is that we demonstrate we don't follow the Karaim. We do believe, we subscribe to the Torah Shabbat Peh, and we believe in Kiddush HaKesef. So that was after the days of the Karaim Matumli. Over here, it's before the Karaim came on the scene. So Yosef was Mekadosh's wife with the Shtar Erisin, with Kiddush HaShtar. He didn't have to do Kiddush HaKesef. The pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu couldn't see. So he said, and he saw Kob the Mizokin, the first pasuk in Sheni. And he saw Kob the Mizokin, and he couldn't see well. Lo yuchaliras. Yosef wanted he should give a bracha to his two children. So he said, bring them close. He kissed them, and he hugged them, and then he gave them the brachas. So what was that all about? So the Sfarna has an interesting comment, and he picks up on this later in Rezois HaBracha. What's the difference between a bracha and a tefillah? A tefillah is if I pray for somebody, Baloshan Nistar, I speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should be kind to Pliny. And the bracha is, I speak to Pliny, Hashem should bless you. So you have to, when you give a bracha, it has to be ponim keneged ponim. You should be closer. That's how the Gemara says, the Kohanim have to be facing the tzibur. When they give the bracha, a lot of people are so concerned, they're so nervous that they don't want to look at the Kohanim's hands. That's why the minhag developed in the days of Rabbi Yosef Kara, that the Kohanim covered their hands with a talus. In the days of the days of Rabbi Yosef Kara, they never had that minhag. The reason why they cover their hands is so you shouldn't be able to see their hands. So you don't have to turn around. So some people, they don't understand what's going on. So they think they have to turn around to make sure they don't look at the Kohanim's hands. They can't see the Kohanim's hands. There's nothing to see. They're covered with a talus. So that's not right. They turn around and they're not facing the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, when the Kohanim give the bracha and shul, bracha is chal al am sheba sodas. The Jews who didn't show up in shul, the bracha is chal on them, yirecha shem yishmerecha, etc. But the people who are in shul and they don't face the Kohanim ponim keneged ponim, they're not included in the bracha. You have to be, and because Yaakov Avinu couldn't see, Kov the Luyuch Aluri couldn't see, so he said, bring them close to me. Kochem no'elai v'abarchem. Yishak lehem v'chabek lehem. Bring them closer. So that's what the Sfarno has this on V'zayis HaBracha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe Rabbeinu to give a bracha to Bnei Yisrael and give a bracha to Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu was davening, Ebro Navi Eretz HaAretz, let me cross over the yard and I'll give the bracha from close up. Let me give the bracha when I'll be next there. So Ibn Shalom said, Vayasab Hashem bi lemanchem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry at me. He didn't allow me to cross over the yard and to give the bracha in person. What do you mean? The pasuk says he was punished because Al Hashem Marisim is pi me'im meriva. he did, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe and Aaron did something wrong. What did he say? I was punished because of you. So this Svarna says, he was punished because of what he did. We're not sure exactly what he did, either because he said Shimon HaMoirim or whatever. The Arachaim quotes that there were 10 different Pshatim and the Rishonim. We still don't know what the Avera was. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do was wrong? But it says, Allah Shalom Kiddashtem is Shmei B'mei Meriva. But he wasn't allowed to give the bracha from close up, even though a bracha should be ponim kenei ponim. He wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael. That was lemanchem, because the Bnei Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, didn't want the bracha of Moshe Rabbeinu to be lekuyim fully. So where is the bracha? So the Sforna has an interesting comment. He says, when you read v'zayis ha-bracha, everything is beloshen nistar. It's not beloshen doichach. Where's the bracha here? Hashem is seen by Bazarak Messiah alone. Afchad Adam Gal Kadosh, but that's how Terrence is alone in Moshe. That's a Hagdama. That's not a bracha. Yechi Ruvain, but all Yamas, he's not saying Tichye, he's not talking to Ruvain. He's praying to Hashem Yechi Ruvain. Zosi, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda. That's a tefillah. Ulevi Amatu Mechu Berecho. He's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu. To mechu erecha l'ish chasidecha. You, Baruch Shalom, gave you Urim Atumim l'ish chasidecha. He's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's not talking to Levi. Baruch Hashem chelo, that's a tefillah. Everything is a tefillah here. So the Sforno claims that everything is a tefillah. But it says, v'zos ha-bracha she-berach. Where's the bracha? So he says the bracha is only the last pasuk. Barzal anachoshes min alecha, uchiyamecha davecha. Barzal anachoshes min alecha. He's talking about Eretz Yisrael. The country should be secure, uchiyamecha, and just like in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, in the early days of Hakamas HaMedina, in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, the first Medina, uchiyamecha davecha. In your old age, when the Medina will be 3,000-4,000 years old, should also be secure. So that was not Mekuyim. The government, at the time of Churban Bais Rishon, the Babylonian armies took over all of Eretz Yisrael. And then Bais Sheni, the Jews didn't have any independent Jewish government until the days of the Hashmonaim. Then the Bais Sheni was Charib. Again, the Romans took away Eretz Yisrael. So that part of the bracha was not Mekuyim. So the Rabbanu Shalom, Vayisab Hashem Bi Lemanchem. That's what this Sforno explained. In the beginning of Os Chan, and then he repeats it again here in Mezayis HaBrach, and it's all based on what he writes over here. Kochem no alai v'abarchem. The bracha should be given from close up. The bracha is b'loshen doichach, and it should be given from close up, ponim keneged ponim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the bracha to be mekuyim in its entirety. He didn't want a chiyomecha dovecha. He wanted Eretz Yisrael should be secure in the early years. But when Bnei Yisrael sinned, he didn't want that to be mekuyim. So that's why he didn't allow Moshe Rabbeinu to cross over the Yarden, so the bracha wouldn't be chal in its entirety. And then after that, that's what the Sforno says, only the last pasuk is the bracha to Eretz Yisrael. All the brachas to the Shvatim are really b'loshen tefillah, not it was b'loshen nisna, not b'loshen noicha. Only the bracha to Eretz Yisrael. And then after that, en kohel yishun yof rechev shemayim ezecha gava sov shchokim meonu lekei kedem. That's not a bracha. That's not the bracha is over. Like the first part is not a bracha. Torah tzivul on a Moshe, Hashem is seen Ibor, that's a hagdama. So that's after the bracha is over. The last line is the bracha. Barzal nachosh is min alechem. Interesting comment. Yankov Vina gave a bracha to Shevet to Yosef. Yivarech es hanorim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless Menashe v'Ephraim. V'yikor behem shmi v'shem Abba Yisai. They should be shvatim. They should bless Tan L'doris, Shevet Menashe, Shevet Ephraim. They should have a bigger, they should have more children than the other shvatim. Where do you see that? In the census, you don't see. You have the Chumash has the census of the different shvatim. You don't see that Shevet Yosef was so big. In Sefer Yoshua, you see that Shevet Yosef grew a lot after they entered Eretz Yisrael. That's what they quote from the Vilna Gaon, V'yud gol aroiv b'kerev ha'oret. Somebody asked me just this morning, Chanoch Teller was in the basement, he was asking me, what do you mean V'yud gol aroiv b'kerev ha'oret? It's the fish on the earth. Fish on the earth die. After that fish have to be in the water. So the answer is, it doesn't mean V'yud gol aroiv like fish on the earth. They should have a lot of children like fish in the sea. When they reach Eretz Yisrael, b'kerev ha'oret, the bracha was only chal, after they crossed over the yard and they entered Eretz Yisrael. Then it says in Sefer Yoshua that Shevet Yosef had so many children, their nachla was too small for them. So they asked Yoshua ben Nun, we need more areas. So he told them what to do, Gulas Elias, Gulas Tachtias. You have an Eitzah there. But Kozman, that they were in the Midbar, until they crossed over the Yarden, you don't see that Shevet Yosef was bigger than the other Shvatim. They have a tradition from Rav Chaim Volozhiner that when you sing Shalom Aleichem on Friday night, you shouldn't say Bochuni L'Shalom. You're not permitted to ask the angels for any blessings. We talk directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't ask the angels for anything. And the Mishnah says, it's a Mishnah in Brochas and a Mishnah in Megillah, Ha'imi Baruchucha Toivim Mishaskim Oso. If a person says, the good people should bless you, you tell them you're not allowed to say that. What does that refer to? So Rashi has two pshatim there. One pshat, only tzaddikim should have the right to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. People are not tzaddikim. Only tzaddikim should have the right to daven. A Rosh shouldn't have the right to daven. So that's not proper. Everybody has a right to daven. Rashi has another pshat. Only people who ate kidei sviya have to bench birchas hamazon. If the person is still hungry after he ate his meal, he does not have to bench. So that's on the level of the raisa. That's what it seems in the Gemara. Only mechuyev to bench benatar if you ate kidei sviya. But with the rabbanon yemechuyev. So that's mishaskim osa. So that's Rashi has those two pshatim. But the Meiri on that Mishnah quotes those two pshatim. He quotes six pshatim, another four. So one of his interpretations is, the good angel should bless you. You're not allowed to ask for a blessing from the angel. So that's Rav Chaim Volozhiner. Other Rishonim hold not so. Other Rishonim hold you are permitted to ask angels for a blessing. So the question is, that's the simple reading of the pasuk. He's asking the Malach who saved me should give a blessing to the children. So it sounds like Yom Kippur is asking a blessing from the Malach. So this is, if you all like the other Rishonim is Mutter, there's no problem. But if according to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, who has adopted that position, B'Shem Hagro, he adopted that position. And the Soloveitchiks always follow everything from Volozhiner, from Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So what do they do with this Pasuk? So they quote from Avdol Bava Soloveitchik that you have to punctuate the Pasuk differently. We have sentences and paragraphs and semicolons in the middle of a sentence. We have commas and semicolons. And the psukim don't necessarily correspond to sentences. Sometimes you have a run-ons, sometimes you have two psukim that are really, if we write it in English, it'll be one sentence. But there's a pasuk in between. So here, Rav Avila said you have to read the pasuk as a hemsha from the previous pasuk. Tezvav tezayin is hamalach ha-golos. Pasuk tezvav is vayvarchas yosef vayomar. Yankov Avinu gave a bracha Elokim, Asher Yisalcho V'asai Lefanom Avraham Yitzchok. Elokim Haroi Oisei Meyoid Arei Maza Hamalach HaGoel Oisei Mikol Ro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who took care of me, and he sent the Malach to take care of me, Yivarech Esanu Arim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Elokim Yivarech Esanu Arim. Not Hamalach Yivarech Esanu Arim. The question is that when we say Kriyash Malamita, we don't say Pasuk Tezvah. We start with Pasuk Tezayin. So we're so used to saying Hamalach HaGoel. And the Nigan, HaMalach HaGoel, doesn't start from Pasuk, it starts from Pasuk Tezayin. So it conveys the impression, maybe it's a mistaken impression, conveys the impression that Yaakov Avinu is asking the Malach should give Yivarech Hasanam. So Rav Avila said, no, Abraham Alojana was right. HaMalach HaGoel is a continuation of the previous Pasuk. And then it says, Yivarech Hasanam goes back to Alekim. Asher Salcha Vas Alekim Yivarech Hasanam. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should give us blessings. They should be a big shevet, they should multiply, have a lot of children. After they move into Eretz Yisrael, This is way before, until the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they didn't have such a big population. Then Yaakov Avinu gives the bracha to Menashe ben Ephraim, and he tells Yosef, "Ani nesatal chashem achad al achecha." I'm giving you Bechoira. He took away the Bechoira from Reuven, because Reuven built Bo Yitzel Yoviv, and he gave the Bechoira to Yosef, in that he gave him to an extra Shevet. Instead of being Shevet Yosef, he has Shevet Menashe, Shevet Ephraim. So that was his Chelek Bechoira. He got a double share. What do you mean? Yaakov Avinu waged war against the Amori, that he got Shechem, Becharbi Bekashti. So the Targum Onkelos says, Bitzlosi ubeba'usi. Becharbi Bekashti, not to be taken literally. Does mean I waged war and I won the war against the Miyad Amori. It means, Bekoich HaTfilo, he davened to HaKadosh Baruch, and HaKadosh Baruch gave him the whole share, the whole Eretz Yisrael. What's the difference between Bitzloisi and Bibausi? So the member of Soloveitchik once held at Russia at the Mizrahi convention. Mizrahi used to have a convention every year, and the main speaker was Rav Soloveitchik, and everybody came to hear him speak. He gave basic talks about Hashkofen and Amunah, Ikori HaTorah, Ikori HaYahadus. And after he no longer spoke, then all the people started going to the Aguda. The same people used to hear Rav Soloveitchik at the Mizrahi convention, they started going to the Aguda convention because they put up a lot of Rabbonim. No one of the Rabbonim was as strong a speaker as Rav Soloveitchik, but all of them together gave a lot of drushim. So the same people used to go to the Mizrahi convention later on, many of them, but the same people went to the Aguda. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, others point this out also, Cherev, you can only fight someone who's near you. A keshis, you can shoot an arrow and it'll go to a distance. So the Targum says, "Bitzlosi ubibausi." Apparently, tzlosi means prayers when you ask something for the immediate future, like a cherev. You can fight the fellow who's just a foot away from you. I can't fight with a cherev if he's far away from me. Ubekashti akeshes, where you shoot arrows, that bibausi, bausi is a tefillah for the distant future. So Rav Soloveitchik said, based on this, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya that the Gemara quotes in the beginning of Bava Kama. Oma shomer asa boike vegam loyla im tevoyim boyu. What does it mean? Oma shomer, so Rashi says, Oma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rabban Shlomim is watching over the Jewish people. Asa boike le tzadikim vegam loyla for the Rishoyim. There's going to be a long golus, Rashi on Sefer Yeshaya explains, it's going to be a long golus, im tivoyun boyu. If you want to daven for the distant future. Don't just daven for the immediate future. You're just going to daven for the immediate future, there's going to be another tzor, and another tzor, another tzor. There's going to be a long golus, daven b'ba'usi. Ba'usi is the tefillahs for the distant tzorochim, not charbi. So that's what he said, we shouldn't. Like when the Russians were fighting with the Nazis, so many of the Jews were davening, the Russians should win the war. The Russians should win the war. So then the Russians became the communist government, and they even before the Second World War, it was communism for a long time. They didn't allow anyone to observe any religion. They didn't allow the Jews. They didn't allow the Jews to observe religion. So Rav Avraham Soloveitchik was upset why the Jews were davening that the Russians should win the war during the Second World War. He said, "We're giving koyach to the Russians. That's an avla we should say. Give us a Yeshua. Don't tell the Rabban Shalom how to do the Yeshua, that the Russians should win. Don't give mitzvahs. The Rabban Shalom knows how to figure out. You should ask for a Yeshua." So that's what Rav Soloveitchik interpreted in that pasuk. Amar Shemar Asar Boiker. The gam loyla means going to be Rashi on Yeshaya says going to be a long galus. Rashi on the Gemara in Bava Kama doesn't say exactly like he writes, slightly different from the way he writes on Sefer Yeshaya. But on Yeshaya says Asa Hashem Asa Berke the gam loyla is going to be a long galus cheshkes halayla im tivoyim bayu. Don't daven for the immediate future. daven for the distant, for the geula. We have to daven for the Yeshua. So then Yankel Avinu felt he's going to die. Moshe Rabbeinu, b'zayis habracha in Chumash Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu gives tochacha to Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi in Dvarim, the beginning of Dvarim, Rashi says, Moshe Rabbeinu is soon going to die, so he learned from Yaakov Avinu, just like Yaakov Avinu didn't give tochacha to the children until he was about to die, because he didn't want to ruin his relationship with them. So Moshe Rabbeinu also saved to give the tochacha at the end. Where do you see that Moshe Rabbeinu gave tochacha over there? Where do you see that Yaakov Avinu gave tochacha? A little bit Shimon Levi, Achim, Klei Chamas, Mechei same. Sodom al Tov Anapshe, a little bit. But the Medrash assumes that he gave more tochacha than that. Chumash didn't record everything. So it could be that that's why it says twice. Yikov to v'shimu b'nei ha'ke, v'shimu al Yisrael avichem. Why, how does it come? He says twice, v'shimu, v'shimu. Maybe listen to the brachas and listen to the tochacha. He's going to give two drashas. So originally he was going to tell him, he's going to tell him when Mashiach is going to come. And then he forgot what he wanted to say. And he felt maybe the children are not ready to hear when Mashiach is going to come. So he asked them, do they have a munah? So they all screamed out, Dad, Shema Yisrael, Shema Ken Hashem Echad. The Rambam quotes that. It's a Gemara Pesachim, Daf Nun Vav. Why do we say Baruch Shem after when we say Kriya Shema every day? You say Baruch Shem Kvar Mechus El Yom Vod. It doesn't appear in the Chumash Baruch Shem. So the Rambam quotes that Gemara. The Rambam, beginning of Hilchas Kriya Shema, quotes the Gemara Pesachim, Daf Nun Vav, that when Yaakov Avinu was afraid, Shem Yesh Benechem Psul. So what psul could there be that they're not roy to hear when Mashiach is going to come? What did Judaism consist of? They didn't like tefillin, they didn't have talis, they didn't have shabbos and kashrus, taras hamishpah. What did they have? They had milah, they had gidon asher. What more did they have? He knew that they all had a bris milah. What more did they have? So they had a din, they're not allowed to intermarry. That's how the Gemara says in Yevamos on Daf Kuf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu, Yis l'chol l'lekim alazarcha acharecha. Yis l'chol l'lekim, they have to have emunah. The Jewish people have to have emunah in Hashem. L'zarcha acharecha should be zarah miyuchah sachrov. They shouldn't marry arma yosa. They shouldn't intermarry. If they're going to marry goyish women, then the children will not be Jewish. So Yaakov Avinu was at the wedding of all of his children. He knew they all married Jewish girls. He didn't know if they have emunah. He can't read their minds. So he said, Shem yesh b'nechem psul. He was at the bris. He was at everybody's bris. They were his children. He knows they had a bris. He knows that they don't need gidon asher. So what more could it be? It could be that they don't have a munah. So he said, Shem yesh b'nechem psul. So he said, Dad, Shema Yisrael, Shema ken Hashem echad. We believe in the same God that you believe in. So Yaakov Avinu was so excited. He said, Baruch Shem kvar mechad. Blessed be Hashem. 100%. The children are 100% Jewish, because that's what Judaism consisted of at that time. Is manazeh, it doesn't make sense that a person going to say, I believe in monotheism. They're going to say, wonderful, marvelous, my Baruch Shem, blessed be Hashem, my child is a monotheist. What about Shabbos and Kashas? What about Tzitzis and Tefillin? What about all the other mitzvahs and the Torah? We don't jump from joy when we hear that a person believes in monotheism today. There's a whole Torah with 613 mitzvahs. Once a year, we jump from joy on Yom Kippur. We say Shema Yisrael, then we say Baruch Shem out loud. How can we say Baruch Shem out loud? So the Nesivos has in his Sefer, Nachlas Yaakov. The Nesivos was a rabbi in a community, so he gave sermons. So he wrote down a lot of his sermons in the Hespedim. And a lot of the ideas he has over there, Velvalu used to say over some of them in the name of the Nesivos. And other Svarim quote, it's a beautiful Sefer. And then he has Biurim Anagadata also there. Very nice biur. So he has this comment. In the days of Yaakov Avinu, when he heard the children believe in monotheism, so they have everything. They're not intermarried. He was at the wedding. They all had a bris milah. No one's eaten gidon asher. And if they all have emunah, so it's wonderful. So he's excited. He praises Hashem. His children are 100% Jewish. But b'zman hazeh, we say Baruch Shem quietly. We don't say out loud. There's nothing to jump from joy today. That's why the Gemara says Yaakov Avinu said it, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say why. So the Mashal says, because in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, there were 613 mitzvahs. You don't say Baruch Shem, blessed be Hashem, if the fellow is a monotheist. But on Yom Kippur, we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to forgive all of our sins. So we ask him, even though, based on the present definition of what's an Orthodox Jew, the 613 mitzvahs, many of us are not so observant, but there used to be a time in the days of the Avos when the definition of religion was just monotheism, Kiddush Hashem, mitzvahs milah, and emunah, monotheism, emunah. So we scream out loud, on Yom Kippur, Baruch Shem, maybe you should, Rabbanu Shalom, you should jump from joy if you have Jews who are not so observant. Please forgive all of their averis. That's his suggestion. We usually assume differently. We usually assume that the Malachim say Baruch Shem. So the Jews on Yom Kippur act like Malachim. Malachim don't eat. We don't have Achilas Tia. And we wear white like Malachim. So that's why we say Baruch Shem Atlam. That's how the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch say. We're acting like Malachim to say Baruch Shem Atlam. But the Nesivis has this suggestion. Maybe we're implying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should be kind to us. So what happened over here? Yankam Avinu taught Shem Yesh Ben Echem Psul. Then they all scream out, Shema Yisrael Shem Lekein Hashem Echon. He says, wonderful, Baruch Shem. So how come it was Nistalka Himenu Shechina? The answer is because the Gemara said this is one of the things, when is the Ketz HaYamin, this is one of the things HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to be revealed to others. So Yankam Avinu knew when it was going to be, so he wasn't permitted. It was Nistalka Himenu Shechina that he shouldn't reveal it. We should prepare every day. Maybe Mashiach will come. Maybe the Gula will be today. So you better prepare. We should all do tshuva. Shuv yamecha lefnei b'yisoscha. You don't know when you're going to die. So you should do tshuva every day. He may die today. There's a minhag that the Sofrim have, that they start in the Sefer Torah. They don't all have like that. In recent years, they all do like that. They have Vavei HaAmudim. Every column begins with a Vav. If you don't begin with a Vav, it doesn't pass. It's a minhag. Every column begins with a Vav, with the exceptions of Beis Yud Hei, Kosh Shemo, Shin Mem Vav. So Bereshis is not a Vav. Bereshis does with a Beis. What is the Yud? So there are two traditions. We hear Yehuda, Atal Yoducha Achecha, either Yehuda or Yoducha. So this is a problem. In between the bracha for Shimon v'Levi Achim, then comes Yehuda, there's a psucha. So the bracha for Shimon v'Levi, not a bracha, the tochacha. Achal kem Yaakov afitzem v'Yisrael, there's a psucha. So it means it's empty till the end of the line. Then you start the next line. Every line in the Sefer Torah has to have a minimum of 9 letters. Yehuda Atah is only 8 letters. Yehuda is 5 letters. Atah is 3 letters. There's an empty space in between. If you write a line in the Sefer Torah that has less than 9 letters, the Sefer Torah is puzzled. So how can you say that it's Yoducha? It should have to be Yehuda on the top of the column. The Yud of the Koshmo shouldn't be Yoducha, it should be Yehuda. Because Afitzei Yisrael should be the bottom of the column, and then you have a psucha till the end, then you start the next column, Yehuda Atah, Yoducha, because we're going to write on the last line. Next to the last line is going to be Afitzei Yisrael, going to have a psucha. Then the last line on the previous column is going to say Yehuda Atah. You only have 8 letters, that's pasul b'dieved. Unless you assume that because Shmo is ma'akeh b'dieved. That's a chiddush. To assume that it's Yoducha, I think we always assume that it's Yehuda. But those who had a tradition that it's Yoducha, they assume that this because Shmo is Ma'akeh B'dieved, that's a Chiddush. Pashto says that it's not Ma'akeh B'dieved. Yaakov Avinu says the bracha, Lo yosu shevet mi Yehuda mechoykik ben bein raglav ha'ad ki abo shilo v'lo yikas amim. Yaakov Avinu says the bracha that the Malchus should be from Shevet Yehuda. There's a famous Ramban here where he writes that the Chashmonaim were Hasidei Elyon, they were holy tzaddikim. But then at the end, we had the Gemara in the beginning of Bava Basra and in Kiddushin, the Gemara says that they wiped out all the Chashmonaim, all the generation. What avera did they do that they deserved all to be wiped out? So the Ramban suggests they were Hasidei Elyon, but they had no right to take over the Malchus. Malchus is supposed to be from Shevet Yehuda. They were Kohanim. Hashmai Makadim b'Shevet Levi. So you're not, no one from another Shevet is allowed to be the Melech, and more so shouldn't be Kohanim. Shouldn't be Kohanim. It's an added Issa. So it's because they violated Tzavos HaZokin, they violated the Bracha of Yaakov Avinu, that's why they deserve to all die out. It's a question, that's what the Ramban says, that's his original Chiddush. The Gemara has a comment, the Gemara in the first paragraph on Sered, in the beginning of Sered, the Gemara has a comment, also Shevet Behuda refers to Rosh Igoli Yoshadubol, and Mechokim Be'ilaglov refers to the Nesiim, the heads of the Sanhedrin. So Yaakov Avinu gave a bracha, both positions of leadership, both the Nasi in the sense, the Melech, the Shevet, Hosam Shevet, Hosam Shevet, Uhacham Mechokik. The Gemara says, in Bavel, their Shevet, Rosh Galusa has the din like a Melech, the Rambam writes. So the Rosh Galusa is like the Melech, has to be a descendant from Shevet Yehuda, and the Mechokik is the Nasi, the Rosh of Sanhedrin, also has a din of a Nasi. The Gemara said there's a din of Seir Nasi, Soyer Nasi. If a private person, Machal Shabbos B'Shoigeg, has to bring a Chatas, if he eats Chayla B'Dam, he eats Chomets B'Pesach, he eats a Yom Kippur B'Shoigeg, if he does a Dovash, he's done a Chorus B'Shoigeg, he's chayv to bring a Kizba Osira. What if he's the Nasi? He has to bring a Soyer. Kizba Osira is in a Keva, Chatas has to be in a Keva. But if he's the Nasi, if he's the Melech and he sins B'Shoigeg, he has to bring a Soyer Nasi. What if he's the Rosh HaSanhedrin? So the Gemara in Horia says in the first parak, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the Rosh HaSanhedrin. So he asked Rabbi Chiya, if I would sin B'Shoigeg, would I have to bring a Soyer Nasi? So he says no, because the Pasuk in Vayikra implies only the top man, the top position, that's the Melech. The Melech is a higher position than the Rosh HaSanhedrin. Misha ein l'mailam menu el Hashem alakov. Says, Hashem Nasi yechtol Hashem. If he's the highest position among the people, and the only one above him is Hashem, to the exclusion of the Rosh HaSanhedrin, who's not the highest position, Melech is above him, so he doesn't have the din of Soyer Nasi. So based on that Gemara, the Rambam writes, there's another din, Nasi b'yamcha lo so'or. You're not allowed to curse the Nasi. There it doesn't say the Nasi who is Tachas Hashem, it just says Nasi. So the Rambam writes that lav is a lav hamikal adam Yisrael lo sikal cheirish. You're not even allowed to curse a deaf person who can't hear you cursing. It's not a nisa because it's going to feel bad, even if he can't hear you, even if shalei b'fanim. You're not allowed to curse a Jewish person. So what if that Jewish person whom you curse happens to be the nasi? So it's a double avera. The Rambam says then he gets twice malchus. Makalach avera b'shem is loike, despite the fact that it's a lav shem amaisi. You only violate avera de dibur. The Gemara says that's one of the three exceptions to the rule that a lav shem amaisa usually ain't loike malchus. Here you get malchus. So if he happens to be the nasi, you get twice malchus. So the nasi, the Rambam writes, is both the Melech or the Rosh HaSanhedrin. We only excluded the Rosh HaSanhedrin from Soyer Nasi, from Parshas Vayikra, because there the Mashmah says, Misha Ein L'mai L'menu El Hashem Alakob, only the top man in the Jewish nation. But as far as the Lab Nasi B'Yam Chaloi Soar, that applies equally to the Rosh HaSanhedrin. Rabban HaChumash is Mesupik about it. On Parshas Mishpatim, where that Pasek appears, Nasi B'Yam Chaloi Soar, Ramban is Mesupik, but the Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin, I think. Hilchas Mamrim, I forgot about it. The Rambam, I think Hilchas Sanhedrin, writes that the lav includes both the Rosh HaSanhedrin and the Melech. Tosfos there in Sanhedrin, Daf Hei, when the Gemara says, Rosh HaShevet, Mehuda HaShevet goes on the Rosh HaGolias, and Mechokim, Mechokim goes the one who gives Psokim, Chok, the Rosh HaSanhedrin. So they quote the Yerushalmi that there's a difference, that the Reish Galusa was Ben Achad Ben from Shevet Yehuda. So he was Meyuchas to Shevet Yehuda. And the Nesiim, Hillel, and all of his descendants for many generations were descendants from Shevet Yehuda from the mother's side, not from the father's side. So they weren't, strictly speaking, they weren't really from Shevet Yehuda. So Rabbi Elbala Soloveitchik added on, I think others before him said, that's why it says, Mechokik Mebein Raglov, because the baby comes out from the mother's body between her legs. So they also Shevet Yehuda, the Reish Galusa is going to be from Shevet, from Yehuda, Shevet Yehuda, Ben Achad Ben. And the Rosh HaSanhedrin is going to be Mebein Raglov from the Nekevis in Shevet Yehuda. Ad Ki Avo Shiloh. This is still Bios HaMashiach, Then it's going to be the Malchus will be Malchus Beis David. Lo yikas amim. Shilo is the Melech HaMashiach. And all of Klal Yisrael, all of the Shvatim, lo yikas amim, all the Shvatim will be kafuf to the David Abdi Melech Aleim. That was the Haftarah of last week Vayigash. The Nabi Yecheskel is told, kach lecha etz arachod echsov olav liyehuda, lekach etz acher echod echsov olav liyosef etz Ephraim. Hold the two together, korvais and echod alachod, oyu lachod em biyadecha, and it's going to be, when Mashiach comes, it's going to be David Malki Melech Aleihem, and everyone is going to be kafuf. There won't be two. They chotzvah the same amlochas. Jewish people won't be split any longer. That's what the pasuk says. The full malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu will only be realized that Baruch Hashem is going to be the full melech when it's going to be Limos HaMashiach Ad Ki Avo Shila. Then the malchus, when we'll have the Melech HaMashiach, it'll be from David HaMelech, then it'll be the full malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Navi Yirmiyah refers to Yerushalayim as Kisei Hashem, the throne of Hashem, because HaKadosh Baruch is really the Melech over Eretz Yisrael. When you have the Malchus Beis Dov, when you have the Malchus HaNevcheres, there's special dinner for Malchus Beis Dov. Ein Yeshiva Bazara Elo the Malchus Beis Dov. Only the Melech from the descendants from David HaMelech are allowed to sit in the Azara. So Rashi in two places has two pshatim. On the Masoras HaShas, they point out the contradiction. One place Rashi, where is that pasuk? The Ein Yeshiva Bazara Elo Malchus Beis Dov Bavad. One place Rashi writes that it's only the Rabbanim. One place Rashi writes that it's Halacha Moshe Messina. Halacha Moshe Messina means that it's a din deraisa. So that was what the din deraisa was. Ein Yeshiva Bazara Elo Malchus Beis Dov Bavad. So it was already known from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu that it's going to be Malchus Beis Dov. So Rabbi Avraham Soloveitchik explains in the Sefer HaChumash, no, the Halacha Moshe Messina was, the Nusach was, Ein Yeshiva Bazara Elo Malchus HaNevcheres. Malchus HaNevcheres remains to be seen who is going to be the Malchus HaNevcheres. So that turned out to be David HaMelech. But the reason why it's David, because he was from Shevet Yehuda. Shaul was a Melech before David. He was from Shevet Binyamin. He was not from Shevet Yehuda. So Ramban raises the issue. If Yaakov Avinu said the Melech has to be from Shevet Yehuda, how come the Novi, Hanta Shmuel HaNovi, appointed Shaul as the Melech? So the Ramban HaChumash quotes on Yerushalmi, the appointment of Shaul HaMelech was only intended temporarily. He wasn't going to be the chief Melech. After time, there's going to be a Melech from Shevet Yehuda, somebody from Shevet Yehuda, and Shaul was going to be assistant to the Melech. Because Yaakov Avinu, what he calls Tzavos HaZok, and Yaakov Avinu said the Malchus is going to be from Shevet Yehuda. So it's interesting because Rashi quotes from the Mechilta on the Pasuk at the end of Bishalach. At the end of Bishalach is Melchemes Amalek. So it says the last pasuk in Mishal Kiyar al Kes Ko, Mocham al Hashem b'Amalek midor do. Why does it say Kes Ko? Why doesn't it say Kisei Ko? So he writes, and why does it say Ko? Why doesn't it say Yud Kei Vav Kei? The Shem Hashem is incomplete. Ein Hashem Shalom, Ein Hakisei Shalom, Ad Sheimocha Zara Shal Amalek. Ein Hakisei Shalom means that the throne of HaKadosh Baruch is incomplete. The Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch is incomplete. It looks as if he doesn't have control of the world. He allows Tariq V'Ala, Rosh HaBotobla, to go on. HaKadosh Baruch allows the genocide going on. They're killing people in Africa, killing people in Syria every day, killing thousands of people all over the world, every day. That's terrible. And it looks as if HaKadosh Baruch is not in control. He is in control, but he's a kel mistati, he hides. So that's what we call Ein Hakisei Shalom. It looks as if HaKadosh Baruch is the Melech. Melech means his control. Looks like he's not in full control of everything. So that's what the Tzlach in the end of Brachas writes. That's why Yerushalayim is always spelled Chaser. Because Yerushalayim is Kisei Hashem. Then other Yirmiyah. First Yerushalayim is Kisei Hashem, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch officially is the Melech of Eretz Yisrael. The Zohar has such a comment on the Pasuk in Koheles. Ashre Cheretz Amalkech Ben Cheren, Elo Cheretz Amalkech Eved. Woe unto the country whose king is an Eved. And it's the praises. Ashre Cheretz is the praises of a country whose king is a Ben Cheren. So the Zohar says, Ashrech Eretz refers, it's the praises of Eretz Yisrael, Shemalkech Ben Chorin, the king of Eretz Yisrael, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's the one who gives freedom. He's the one who sets free the Eved Ivri when it comes Yom Kippur Shal Yovel. He's the one who gives cheres to people. So the official king of Eretz Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it looks as if he's not the melech. It looks as if he's not able to maintain law and order in the world. That's what it looks like. So that's what we say. Ein hakis v'sholem ad sheyimocha zara shalom olam. The malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be complete. That's why it says, ad ki yov v'shilu, till Mashiach will come, then it'll be the full malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what we pray on Yom Tovim when we daven, galei kvod malchus chaleinu mehera. We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his malchus should be noticeable. It should be complete in a noticeable fashion. He should have full control of everything that's happening in the world. Kol zman she'amolek bo'elam means kol zman that you have tzadik v'ra l'rosh v'tev. It looks as if, ein hakis v'sholem, looks as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not in full control. So we pray on Yom Tovim, galei kvod malchus chaleinu mehera, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hasten the coming of Mashiach, when the malchus Hashem will be complete. Ki yovo shiloh. Then in the bracha of Yisachar, Oya menucha ki tov es haaretz ki na'im avayit shichma lizba v'hi lemas oveg. What do you mean v'hi lemas oveg? What do the words mean? So the Targum Onkelos translates that Yisachar will be koyvish his area and he'll wipe out the zaynumas who live there. And then he's the Rambam writes in Hilchos Malachim, there's a mitzvah hachrim tachrimim. So if the Zaynumas agree to make peace with the Jewish people, then you don't have a mitzvah hachrim tachrimim. You let them live there, provided number one, they accept the Sheva mitzvahs b'nenach, and number two, they accept to pay tax. So that's what it says. Vahila masoyvei, the Targum says, the chabish mochoize amemaya, the Yisachar will conquer that area from the nations, from the Zaynumas. V'yishetze yazda area, he'll wipe out all of the Zaynumas who live there. Udish to'arun behom, those who will remain from them, yohon lei pochin umaske misen. They'll agree to pay tax to Shevet Yisachar. So that's the Rambam said, that's the din, not only for Shevet Yisachar, that's the din regarding the Zaynamimim. Then he gives a bracha, Binyamin Zev Yitra, Baburke Yechalab, Erev Yechalek Shalom. So the Gemara in the last daf in Sukkah, the very last omen in Masech HaSukkah, the Gemara says that there was a Jewish girl who married one of the Roman officers. She intermarried. So she was complaining about the Mizbeach. She says, Lucas is a wolf. The wolf devours sheep. So the Mizbeach devours all the flesh. You have to bring karbonis to meet him and himself every day. People have no food to eat because they're bringing karbonis on the Mizbeach. So she gave up the whole Jewish religion. And the Gemara says, we punished her whole, she was a Bas Kohen, and we punished her whole Beisav, her whole Mishmar, because she must have heard it from her parents, she must have heard it in her family, that they were disrespectful of the korbanos of the Mizbeach. But that's when Yaakov Avinu said, Binyamin Zev Yitro, Bechelka Shal Binyamin, the Mizbeach should be built, Bechelka Shal Binyamin, Baberke Yechalad, the Tomish Shal Shachar should be brought every day, V'le'erev Yechalek Shalol, in the evening the Tomish Shal Ben Abayim should be brought. The Gemara says, Yerushalayim, half of the city was Bechelka Shal Yud, half of the city was Bechelka Shal Binyamin, because it's both the capital of Eretz Yisrael and the political capital has to be Bechelka Shal Yehuda, because the government is supposed to be from Shevet Yehuda. And the other half is Chelka Shal Binyamin, because the Mizbeach is supposed to be Bechelka Shal Binyamin. And the Gemara said, we don't even want to have 1 inch of the Mizbeach in the Chelka Shal Yehuda. The Maharsho and the Chidush Agora, and that Gemara Zvachim says, that's the idea of separation of church and state. We don't want the government in Eretz Yisrael to control the religion, like today. The government controls the Rabbanut. The Rabbanut cannot say what they want to say. They're given restricted authority. They have authority on the Gittin, on the Kiddushin, on Geris a little bit, on Kashrus, but they can't say what's on their mind. They can't express their opinion on everything. The government will close down the whole Rabbanut. That's one of the reasons why Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't go. He said the Rabbanut is controlled by the government, so you don't have... They offered Rabbi Lovell also should be the chief rabbi, right? So he said, what kind of Rabbanut is it? You can't say what you want to say. So that's what the Marsha says, that even in Insha, the Mizbeach can't be Bechelka Shel Yehuda. Yehuda is the government, and we don't want the government to control the religion. But the Chumash refers, Yaakov Avinu refers to the Mizbeach as a Ze'ef, as a Lucas. That's where the Kohanim got the idea from. So Yaakov Avinu gave them both Teuchach and he gave them Brochas. Vayichal Yaakov, the Tzavah says, Banav, Yosef, Raglav, Alamit, Vayigva, Vayosef, Alamov. So the Medrash has a comment. Kol zman that he was talking, he didn't die. As soon as people retire and they stop being active, then they die. So don't retire. My father never wanted to retire. My father in his old age, he moved to, after I got married, a few years after I got married, my father used to live in the Bronx. So quite a few years after I got married, then he moved to Borough Park. He used to travel from Borough Park every week to come teach in the yeshiva. He used to sleep over in the dormitory. He didn't want to retire. He said he remembered when he was in the rabbinate. That's what the Medrash says. He remembered the butcher and the grocer and all the businessmen. The year that they would retire, they would die. That's what the pasuk says. When you stop being active, you die. So my father kept on teaching the yeshiva until it was just impossible. I think 2 years before he died. He died at the age of 94. He taught in yeshiva till he was 92. Then the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu passed away, and Yosef instructs that they should embalm him. So the Medrash says he was punished for that. He had no right. When you bury a mace, the mace gets a mechilas avinus when the body disintegrates. In fact, the Ramon Shulchan Aruch writes a minig from the Rishonim that when you bury the mace, you pour burning hot cement on top of the kever, that the body should, in a certain sense, you're destroying the body a little bit, but the body should disintegrate earlier, that the person should get mechilas avinus, so it's going to embalm, the body is going to last for much longer. So that's not proper. So the Medrash says, Taki, he was punished for that. So it says that they observed the Avelis for 7 days. So Tosfos in Moed Katan, the last paragraph of Moed Katan, has all the dinim of Avelis. So the Yerushalmi says, why don't we learn out from this pasuk, Va'aseh v'lov v'shivas yomim, here, pasuk Yud, in the last chapter, chapter Nun, pasuk Yud, they observed Avelis Shiva. Why not learn out the Gemara Nazirah from a different pasuk? A different pasuk from Novi. Why not learn here? The Rishami gives the answer. You can't learn anything from Koyde Matan Torah. Rabbi Yosef Engel has a long essay. There were a lot of dinim that we learn from Koyde Matan Torah. So how come up all of a sudden over here this you don't learn? All the other dinim you do learn. Pasuk says that Yosef died before all the other brothers. That's what it says. V'yamas Yosef v'cholach v'cholach d'rahu, says in Parsha Shmais. Yosef died first. So that's what the Medrash talks about. Why did Yosef die? He was much younger than the others. He was much younger. Why did he die before the others? They were older. Anyway, but it says that during his lifetime, so the Targum Yonasan Ben Azil says he was the Sandik by Bnei Moche Ben Menashe, by his great grandchildren. Moche was his grandchild, and Bnei Moche Ben Menashe were his grandchildren. He was the Sandik by the great grandchildren. So there's a Sefer Hadrash Veho Iyun by Rabbi Aaron Levine. I mentioned a few times, my cousin, Aaron Levine, was a grandson of Aaron Levine. He used to be the head of economics here in the yeshiva. I said he was born the first day Pesach, and he died the first day Pesach a couple of years ago. He had died. He was quite a Talmud Chacham. Anyway, so his grandfather was killed in the war, Second World War. He was the rabbi in Reisha. He was the Aguda representative in the parliament, like a congressman. He spoke Yiddish very well, and he spoke Polish very well. He's a very good speaker. And Allah, he has a sefer of Shalas and Tshuvas, Avnei Chefetz. So several of the Tshuvas, he wrote the Tshuvas while he was traveling on the train back and forth to attend the parliament sessions. He has very nice things on Chumash. Halacha and Machshava and Drush, very nice things. And he has a comment over here. In Shulchan Aruch it says that we want to spread the wealth. So you're not mechabed the same person twice. One family shouldn't be mechabed the same person twice to be a sandik, because sandik goes is a skula for Ashiris. How come over here it says that Yosef was the sandik Yulda Birke Yosef, that's what the Targum Yonis of Menazil says, Yosef was the sandik for his great-grandchildren. So he suggests maybe the grandfather, that's okay. If you mechabed the rabbi, he's not a member of the family, so then you shouldn't be mechabed the same rabbi twice for another child. But if you mechabed one of the members of the family, the father or the grandfather, so that maybe even more than once is okay. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos.